St. John's Lutheran Church of Northfield is celebrating its 150th anniversary in 2019. As part of this sesquicentennial, the church is conducting oral history interviews that will help to preserve the history of the church and the experience of our longtime members. Today is August 18th, 2019. I am Eric Sponheim from the Evangelism and Communications Committee. Today I'm joined by longtime St. John's members, John and Peggy Hansen. Welcome, Peggy and John.
Thank you.
Thank you.
When did you first join St. John's? What attracted you to the church? And go from there into members of your family too that have been involved here.
We joined the summer of 93, and we decided to join St. John's because we ran into Bob Matta, who John knew from the airlines, fellow pilots together. And that kind of did it for us.
Northwest.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, we had moved to Minnesota, and I have a little airplane as a hobby, and I had a hangar at the Faribault Airport, and we used to have coffee every Saturday at Roy Redmond's hangar. He's not a member of St. John's, but he's also a retired Northwest pilot. And Bob Matta was a regular part of those Saturday things, and I became very good friends with Bob. And one day we were trying new churches in Northfield, Lutheran churches, to pick the one that we wanted to join. And we were sitting on the aisle as we usually do, and when it came time for communion, someone tapped me on the shoulder, and I looked up, and it was Bob Matta. And with a big smile on his face, everyone loved Bob Matta. And I leaned over to Peggy after Bob walked by, and I said, "Can we join this church?"
Yep.
Thank you for that very specific answer.
Well, we're out of time now. So.
No. I used to be involved with Westwood Lutheran, and I remember one year we had a slogan, "Each one, reach one." No, like if we all did that, my goodness, the church would double right there if we all did that. So very, very specific person.
Yes.
Got you. What role did St. John's have in your family life? And I'll mention by way of background for the recording that in the prayer stay was prayers for a grandchild of yours. So sketch that out.
Both our daughters grew up here, went through confirmation together, went to summer camps, went to the ELCA gatherings. That happened every 3 years in a different state. Sunday school. They were both in the choir. They both did everything.
Well, we should add, I don't think we mentioned it yet for the recording, that you used to be the youth director here at St. John's. We joined, and then after several years, you were approached about being the youth director, and you did that for a couple of years, and that was so the connection with St. John's was not just our kids with the youth program, it was you and the youth program.
And again, for the recording, we noted this in the pre-call that we're conducting this interview on the day of the installation of Emmanuel as the new director of youth ministry. So, past and present.
Yes.
And who are some of the St. John's members who have influenced you over the years?
Well, Bob Matta, of course, and that was involved in that original decision, but Dave and Pat Halzer were in our new members class when we joined, and he's also a retired Northwest pilot. And I served with Dave on the stewardship board for a couple of years after that, and we saw them socially over that time. And
For me, it's hard to come up with one or two people. I would say the congregation as a whole it's faith, it's camaraderie. To me, that influences me. Just looking around the congregation and knowing different people's stories and hardships that they've been through, it's very lifting.
Well, let's mention ushering there in that regard, because I know as a relatively new member since 2015, if there's an award for most welcoming ushers, you get that award, and it's
oh, you're very sweet.
How long have you been doing? I know you've been doing it at least for a few years.
Oh gosh, for a long time.
We've been ushers
for any idea. Very long time.
Yeah.
Oh man, 15, 20, yeah, 15 or 20 years. I'm not sure. Yeah, we like it. It's nice. It's different than being able to sit through a service. Of course, I could go to both services, but it's nice to get to know people that way and to serve that way. And yeah.
To me, it's a hands-on thing. Mm-hmm. I've always liked something that I'm very interested in. I want to do hands-on. I've always liked fishing, but you'd never think of fishing as I want to ride along in the boat and watch someone else catch the fish. And you know, flying has always been a hobby of mine, and it wouldn't be the same to me if I wasn't up front.
You're saying that ushering is a little bit like baiting the hook.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That's good.
But it's a hands-on thing. I've been that way ever since in Trinity Lutheran back in Ann Arbor, Michigan, when I was an acolyte, when I was a teenager. To me, that was a hands-on thing. That would, to me, was the best part about acolyting, was it's hands-on. You get to lift the hood and look at the engine and see what's going on behind, you know, look behind the curtain. And I enjoyed that part. It was a real hands-on thing. And ushering does that for me.
That's interesting about acolyting. It's during Lent, when there's lighting candles. I mean, it's interesting how families kind of like how they go about doing that when that privilege and duty is assigned week by week. For ushering, how is that in the church structure? Is there how does that sort of report up? Has that changed at all over the years? I mean, who kind of oversees that?
Well, you can get into ushering either by, you know, if people in the congregation will see the ushers and they'll think, you know, I'd kind of like to do that, and they'll volunteer, and that's one way you can get into it. Mm-hmm. Or another way is there is a head usher.
Yeah, each team has a head usher.
Well, actually, there's two then. I'm thinking each team has a head usher, but I'm thinking of Doug Child, who is the usher coordinator or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so there is kind of a recruiting mechanism where if one of the ushers sees like a teenager that just graduated from high school and, you know, an opportunity, and they would be a good usher and it would be an opportunity for them to go to their next level in the church. If one of us sees that and talks to them and says, would you like to usher? You know, we've got an opening on our team or whatever. We'll mention it to the head of our team, our usher captain or whatever you'd call them. And they in turn would mention it to Doug Child. And I don't know how the formal contact mechanism works at that point, but we've gotten a couple of ushers that way.
And I think we try to even start them before high school, early, you know, bring them through, train them in. And I love it when, you know, parents bring their kids to help out with ushering. I think that's awesome.
Right. That's the case with any type of service, isn't it? It's best to get that instilled
early.
We've already started talking about this next question, really. What are you most proud of in terms of your service or leadership roles in the church? So we've talked about ushering a fair amount. I want to hear more about the stewardship board in a minute, but let's just, like, Peggy, what are some of the high points from the youth program when you were really at the total center of it? I mean, I know you're still involved and welcome, still welcome kids in your home.
It was really a highlight of my life, being the youth director. I love teenagers. I find that they're challenging, and that's what makes the job so interesting and intriguing and fun, I think. It has really been, I don't know, I just truly loved it to see some students that came in to the, I don't know, maybe came over to my home that were very quiet and shy, and to watch them blossom was really, it just was really great. I loved it, and I loved going to camp. I loved the ELCA gathering in Atlanta. We had 21 high schoolers. I loved prayer time with them and service projects and social time and Wednesday night confirmation, Sunday morning Sunday school. But I think going to the youth where they're at is the key, and that usually has to do with their peers, with their friends, or just others their own age, and bringing them together, and they all want to be liked, they all want to be a part of something, and giving them opportunities for that to happen. And that's why I would open my home, and we would have, I had a teenage boy cooking club through church for 4 years, and it was 14-year-old boys that were in eighth grade, and we got together 4 or 5 times a year, and I taught them cooking skills, and we met through their senior year. And so that was really, that was a high point for me. The quilts that we have, we made quilts, and those quilts that the youth made were donated to families in the Northfield community in need, or that had gone through a tragedy of some sort, suicide, things like that in the family, and the youth voted on where the quilt would go. It would take us 2 years to make one of these quilts. But boys were sewing, girls were sewing, but it was still fun having tea and cookies and doing something. You know, it was a service project, but we'd still have fun while we would do it. And that was very rewarding. But just being part of their lives was a real blessing for me. I loved it. Yeah.
Clearly, you really have a heart for it.
Oh, well. It's God's gift that he gave me.
Do you remember a sermon about a month ago by Pam on the Good Samaritan, where she started by saying, I want you each, she started very attention getting with, I have an assignment for each of you right now. And we were supposed to, like, oh, wow, I'm at school again. I better, you know, okay, teacher's got something from me. And what she wanted us to do was to come up with an alternative title for it. So it's not called, because, you know, it's not Good Samaritan, like an alternative title. Did you hear the sermon? It was about a month ago. And she was giving some examples of groups that are hard to love, because Samaritan to Jesus' hearers was a really negative term. And so she listed off a few, and I have two teenagers right now, 16 and 19. And so she said, what if you call this, what if there were like the good teenager?
Yeah,
you know, because it is a difficult age.
It's very challenging, that's what drew me to it, because there are kids that are hurting so much, and the high school kids get dropped off. They just get, I feel, in the church. There's so many programs for the youth. But once they get to a certain age, they're just kind of like, well, what are we going to do with them? Mm-hmm. Well, no, that's when they really need to find themselves in the church with one another. They have more questions. They have more issues. And that's why I was drawn to that age group. Because I think, you know, the younger kids are active, but they're easy. You know, you give them some candy and they're happy, you know. But the teenagers, it takes a lot more.
What age is it? Like when you were directing it, was it after confirmation?
6th grade through 12th grade. And so even there's a wide range between, you know, 6th and 7th graders are one group, 8th and 9th graders, and 9th through 12th is its own, you know, they're all just at different maturity levels, and you just have to go with the flow.
I'm tempted to explore, permit me explore just one more question on youth, if I may. Are you two, I don't know your backstory, are you two high school sweethearts by any chance? I don't know.
No, we met at a Halloween party at the airline. I was a flight attendant, John was a pilot. All right. And I met John on his 30th birthday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Memorable birthday.
Yeah, and it was love at first sight for me. I saw him across the room at this party. I went and broke up with the fella I was dating because I thought I need a clean slate because I'm going to go meet that fella over there. And so I ran into what I was hoping to find, the ladies' room, but there wasn't one. So I ran into the men's room, combed my hair, came out, and there was John standing right there. So we like to tell people we met in the men's room.
Yeah. I was waiting to get in the men's room, but the door was locked because she knew she was in the wrong room, so she locked the door. And when the door finally opened, I looked at her, and then I looked up at the sign on the door that said men, and then I looked back at her, and she said, "Well, the ladies' room was
full." It was too far away.
Too far away, yeah.
And I had a trip in the morning. I'm like, I got to meet this fella, and I got to get home because I got to get up early for a trip. Turns out he was going to be he told me he was on the same trip that I was the next morning, and I thought I knew he was kind of a kidder. And sure enough, he was my pilot the next morning, so we were meant to meet.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So we as Peggy's father, his favorite way of putting it was, I met her in a revolving door, and we've been going around together ever since.
Yeah. So much for my theory that you had a heart for youth ministry because you were high school sweethearts. The story was even better.
Yeah.
Even better story. Let's pass. Well, what a highlight. Let's pass lightly over these last few questions, and then I'll let you go. Music and worship. Anything you want to highlight there that really moves your heart or.
Well,
I was in the in Ann Arbor at our old church in Ann Arbor. I was on the worship committee, and that was fun because we went over hymns in various settings and things like that. And I enjoyed that. But when I got up here, that was the first thing I explored when we joined St. John's. Was should I join the worship? Should I look at joining the worship committee? But this congregation is so full because of St. Olaf, so full of retired ministers, religion professors from St. Olaf and stuff like that, that I knew I would be totally outclassed and I would feel uncomfortable. So I didn't do that. So I went instead towards stewardship.
Say a little more about that, John. So you were out for a couple of years doing that. It's just a regular committee type structure.
Dave Halzer was the head of that committee, or the board, the stewardship board, and I knew I wanted to do something, but stewardship seemed. I've always been kind of a nuts and bolts, look under the hood kind of guy. And you know, Peggy is got the heart for the things like the youth work and the outreach and stuff like that. I'm more of a, you know, I want to work on the things that are a little more regimented and things where you can, you feel like you're a part of a system, of a machine that's working, and that, you know, and so stewardship matched up with those desires, and I enjoyed the stewardship. Dave Halzer, when he retired from the stewardship committee, I had enjoyed working under him so well, so much, that when he retired, I decided, I can't imagine doing this and not working for Dave. And so I also opened up my position on the stewardship board at that time. I loved working for the stewardship board. The thing I didn't like was that I always was the one that gave, I always got pegged, maybe because I have a good speaking voice or something, but I'd always do the temple talk, and, you know, where you're asking people for money. And I've always found that's not a comfortable position to be in, where you're asking people for money. I just
you would make you do have the voice to be a good announcer. I like to you mentioned Doug Child earlier. I'd like to tease him about his golf, like when he's doing that radio broadcast and he's saying, I'm in the sacristy at St. John's. I told him he's like a golf announcer. Like he's kind of whispering. The putt is 5 feet and you win the Masters.
He does a beautiful job. Oh, I just wanted to say about the music part of worship. My favorite is when the youth sing up front. I wish all of our choirs sang in front of us, because I think there's so much joy and love and praise that comes from a person's facial expression when they're singing. But that I love it when the children sing.
That is very interesting, Peggy. I have no, like today I was, you know, to crane your neck and look up into the balcony is, I think people here have no qualms about doing that, because you do want to see.
Yeah.
And I looked up and I saw those two trombones today. And
it's beautiful. I wish they would perform up front.
An open-ended question about how the church has changed over time. And final reflections. Let's combine those two. This has been really enjoyable.
Thank you.
Anything to add as far as how things are changing, hopes for the future?
I am very excited that the church has become more open to gays and lesbians and transgenders. I think that's truly beautiful and the way it should be. I mean, that's what Christianity is all about. So I'm very, very happy about that.
And the society, the culture in the United States is leaning that way as well. Mm-hmm. And so it's a healthy thing that the church reflects that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you noticed the church become more of a open all week as opposed to only Sundays and Wednesdays? Has that been a trend?
I think St. John's has been good about that. There has been different community meetings here, NA, and I think AA has met here, and Girl Scouts, and flute lessons, and piano lessons, and, you know, different things like that. And I think that is nice to just have the doors open for the community to use our beautiful space.
We do those community dinners at Christmas.
Right, and then Wednesday
night. Thanksgiving, I think. Don't they do those here? And it's open to the whole community, and you can come in. And we've worked in the kitchen for a couple of those.
Mm-hmm. I was the one that started the pumpkin pie Wednesday night program. That was actually started downstairs. When I was teaching Sunday school, I invited all of the recent high school graduates to come Wednesday night. It was their first fall away from home when they'd gone off to college. I said, why don't you come Wednesday night? I'll have some pie and you guys can see your old church friends. So they did that, and then we eventually brought it upstairs, and I had the youth serving pie to the congregation Wednesday evening before Thanksgiving. And it was a way to get the youth and the older generation to just make eye contact, maybe visit a little bit. And I, you know, just send the kids out and say, just talk to anyone with gray hair. And what do we say? Just say, would you like some more coffee? Oh, okay, I can do that. And now it's become a tradition, and I love it. It's great.
Marvelous. Thank you so much for your time this morning and sharing your stories. And
you're so welcome.
I've never been
Thank
so
you.
Happy to have a theory of mine blown out of the water as far as high school. That was...